From NPR News, it's All Things Considered. I'm Noah Adams.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Today, United Nations Secretary General Kofi Annan urged the United States to take part in this week's UN Conference on Racism, which starts Friday in South Africa. The Bush administration is threatening to boycott the conference. State Department officials object to documents containing what they call offensive language about Israel. And the administration also objected to language supporting reparations for slavery.
In Mauritania, a former French colony in the Sahara Desert of northwest Africa, slavery is very much a current problem. Mauritania has long been the meeting point of two different cultures. For centuries, light-skinned Moors have dominated and even enslaved people from the rim of sub-Saharan black Africa. In 1980, the Mauritanian government abolished slavery, but as NPR's Ivan Watson reports, some forms of slavery continue.
In the town of Attar, built amid rock mesas at the western fringes of the Sahara Desert, a young black man named Iyuku draws water from a concrete tank that's buried in the sand. Iyuku lives here with a white Moor family. The white Moors affectionately call him their son and refer to Iyuku's mother and younger sister as family members. The relationship here is cordial, but it's not one of equals. When the white Moors sit down on straw mats and cushions for dinner, Iyuku's mother is busy doing the cooking, while Iyuku serves tea and washes the dishes. Iyuku is a black Moor, or Haratin, which in the local language means freed slave. The term is misleading, though, because Iyuku was born into this family and this line of work. He's compensated with food, lodging, and clothes, but not money, and the prospect of leaving his masters is nearly impossible. Franklin Graham, an American aid worker who spent 2 years living in this community, says Iyuku's situation is typical of many families he's seen in Mauritania.
There are different levels to it. Some are like where the white Moors and the black Moors are, they treat them like family. There are some relationships where they are verbally abusive to the black Moors, and there are some where they are verbally and physically abusive towards them. It depends. Certainly with the black Moors, they look at it as to, well, if I lose my relationship with this family, what am I going to do? They do not have education, regretfully, and the opportunity to go off and do something else is just not provided for them.
Graham calls this a form of modern serfdom, a means of survival in one of the world's poorest countries. But Boubacar Massoud, the founder and president of the Mauritanian organization SOS Esclaves, has another word for the practice. He calls it slavery.
There are slaves here in Mauritania. These are people who, from the time of their birth, belong to other people and work for them. They can't do anything without the authorization of their masters. Slavery isn't committed by the state. It's done by individuals who have this tradition, who have been practicing slavery for centuries.
SOS Esclave works with the authorities here to help slaves escape masters. But 2 decades after banning it, the government refuses to admit publicly that slavery still exists in Mauritania. In fact, the word slave has been banned from the local media, and foreign journalists risk arrest and deportation if they openly investigate the issue. So it was under the cover of darkness that SOS Esclave activists in Attar brought a visitor to meet a 50-year-old man named Shar Houd. Houd is a former slave. Once his main task was to make grueling 3-day trips through the desert with camels to collect water for his white Moor master. Houd says conditions then were miserable.
First of all, I was never paid. Second, if a camel or goat ran away, my master beat me and left me without food and forced me to sleep outside. Sometimes I went days without eating.
Houd has sharply defined features with streaks of gray in his beard and hair. He says he made several attempts to run away over the years, but the police would always catch him and bring him back to face another beating at the hands of his master. In 1995, he finally succeeded in escaping. Later, with the help of SOS Esclave, he liberated his mother, who he says was originally purchased before his birth in exchange for 8 camels. But Houd's sister and her children remain with his former master, and Houd says there are many other slaves still working out in the desert.
What the government says is not true. There are many, many slaves there. They were with me, and they are not happy.
Mould Salma escaped from her master last year after making two unsuccessful attempts to run away. Both times, her father and her mother brought her back to her owner. Though today Salma and her two youngest children live in freedom, Salma's parents still refuse to leave their master.
My parents don't want to run away because they are old. They think that if they leave, they will not go to heaven, they'll go to hell. I don't believe that.
Salma says her master forced her to have sex with him and with other men in the neighborhood. Salma is still campaigning to win the release of her eldest daughter. Anti-slavery activists are quick to point out that slavery is not exclusively practiced by white Moors. They say both blacks and whites in Mauritania continue to own slaves. In this semi-feudal society, some of Mauritania's most powerful families are black. In fact, the president of the National Senate, who's constitutionally the country's second in command, is a black Mauritanian. Nonetheless, the Mauritanian government has a history of overtly racist policies. In 1987, not long after the publication of a book titled Manifesto of the Oppressed Black Mauritanian, the government conducted massive purges of black officers from the army and police force. And in 1989, a border conflict prompted the mass deportation at gunpoint of more than 60,000 black Mauritanians to neighboring Senegal. Ousmane Ba makes a few dollars a day driving one of the horse-drawn wagons people use as taxis in the Senegalese border town of Dagana. He was a 16-year-old student when Mauritanian troops forced him to leave Mauritania, and he hasn't been back since.
I'm still Mauritanian. We're just waiting for the word from the government to go back home to my village. I can't go back now because there are white Moors living in my house. If I go there and say, this is my home, they'll say, no, we live here now.
12 years after the deportations, the Mauritanian government still refuses to recognize the refugees as Mauritanian citizens. At least 20,000 black Mauritanians still live in refugee camps in Senegal, along Mauritania's southern frontier. There's bitterness and resignation in these refugee communities. Aboubakar C. says he's been left without a passport or a nationality.
Mauritanian government say that we are not Mauritanians. Here in Senegal, we are not Senegalese. We haven't nationality. We are just here to live like animals, you know. You haven't picture.
Events like the deportation and the purges have polarized politics in Mauritania along racial lines. The decision to declare Arabic the country's official language has convinced many black Mauritanians that the government is intentionally trying to consolidate power in the hands of the ruling white Moor elite. Some human rights activists based in Europe and Senegal disagree. They say the current regime, which has been in power since 1984, is a dictatorship which oppresses both blacks and whites. Last spring, authorities arrested Chbi Sheikh Malanin, a popular white Moor opposition leader and former presidential candidate who has since been sentenced to 5 years imprisonment for sabotage and terrorism. The organization Human Rights Watch recently condemned what it calls the government's ongoing repression of Mauritania's opposition political parties and rights activists. Ivan Watson, NPR News, Atar, Mauritania.